In Britain, a number of citizens are bewildered and angry today after finding out that their identities were stolen and used by a gang that assassinated a leader of the Palestinian group Hamas in a luxury hotel in Dubai. The group of 11 is now believed to have organised the killing of Hamas military commander Mahmoud al-Mabou last month. They all left Dubai within 19 hours of arriving. Hamas is blaming Israel for the hit, and British media are reporting that the case threatens a diplomatic row between the UK and Israel because of the use of forged British passports. Fairfax correspondent Paul McGough's most recent book described Israel's failed assassination attempt in 1997 against Hamas leader Khaled Mishaal. Paul McGough joins me now. I've read that there are elements of this assassination which echo the Khaled Mishaal attempt. Do you see that?
Indeed, I do. It's starting to look very familiar in terms of the modus operandi used. Elements of the Mishaal attempt were very clever, very brilliant. If it had worked, it didn't work, and that's why it was such an embarrassment for Israel and for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who was the Israeli leader then and is back in office as the leader of Israel now.
Both these operations have all the hallmarks of a spy novel. It seems to be a case of fact outdoing fiction.
They do, and the dramatic turn in the Dubai case, which the Mossad seems to have been caught slightly unaware by, was that in places like Dubai, every arrival at a hotel, every movement down the corridor of a hotel, every arrival at an immigration desk is recorded on closed-circuit television.
So what are we seeing on that CCTV?
Well, we're seeing the arrival of the agents. We're seeing them all arriving in the country. We're seeing them arriving at the hotel. We're seeing them moving around the hotel, sometimes disguised as tourists dressed for tennis, sometimes as golf players. Sometimes they've actually been caught slipping into toilets or restrooms and emerging with fake beards on their faces.
Or a bald wig in one case.
Yes, indeed. So, and going up and down in the hotel lifts with their target, Mahmoud al-Mahbou, checking to find out his room number, following him almost to the door, almost as though they're going to escort him.
And the CCTV really reconstructs that whole thing pretty much up to his bedroom door.
It does. Dubai authorities have released a 27-minute edited version of the CCTV. They've got that much of it.
Now, there's no doubt in your mind that the Khaled Mishaal was a Mossad operation, as you say. Nobody doubts that at all now.
Israel was forced to confess that was the Mossad in 97. They were forced to hand over the antidote to the poison that they'd injected into Mishaal's ear. They were forced to release Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, who was the spiritual leader of Hamas, who they held in prison at the time. Netanyahu admitted publicly at the time that it was their man on the ground, and they had botched it.
In this case, the method of killing appears to have been electrocution followed by smothering. Is that a recognized technique? Not electrocution, electrifying.
There's been talk of suffocation, electrocution, and also suggestions of torture. Now, one of the things that you have to be careful of with a story like this is all sorts of hairs are set running, and it takes time to work out what's real and what's not real. Certainly, there seems not to have been a weapon used, and one of the reasons being offered for that is that it was too difficult to try to bring a weapon into the country. Torture and suffocation and electrocution in a hotel room sounds very messy. But the whole killing, and again, we're relying on the CCTV footage here, four killers were in the hotel room for 45 minutes. That's an incredibly long time for four to kill one. So we don't know what happened in that room yet. What we do know is when they left, they locked the door from the inside, including the chain. They managed to get the chain back on the latch. So it's an intriguing story, and again, in the way that the Middle East throws up intriguing elements of this kind of story, the other aspect is apparently there were two Palestinians involved.
Now, they've got clean away, but as you say, they're on CCTV, and there's an awful lot more evidence than on previous occasions. What do you think the aftermath of this is likely to be?
Well, the British government is very upset. The Irish government is very upset. The German government is quite upset, and the French are annoyed.
All of them had passports used?
All of them had passports used. 6 Israeli, 3 Irish, 1 German, 1 French. Now, these are countries that do a lot of business in the region. They have a lot of their nationals moving in the region, and the thought that anyone travelling on any of their passports might be presumed to be a killer of a Palestinian, a high-profile Palestinian activist, is of significant concern for them.
Not to mention the feelings of the individuals involved who've had their identity stolen.
The individuals are interesting. A good number of the 6 Brits are Israeli-British. They seemingly live in Israel, and they have volunteered that, yes, it is their passports or their data.
But there are British citizens quoted in the British press today who say, I haven't left Britain for 2 years. Somebody has stolen my identity.
Yeah, that's right. Now, what happened, what I came across in researching the Khaled Mashal incident was that quite often what the Israelis do is they borrow the details of a passport, either as a traveler is going through immigration or they, you know, on a kibbutz or something like that. Several of these people are living on kibbutzes. They get a friendly operative within the kibbutz to borrow the passport or to simply purloin it.
And
the details. And then they use it to their own end. Now, the Mossad runs what they call their passport factory. Viktor Vatrovsky, the Canadian-Israeli former Mossad agent, wrote graphically about this in his book, where he saw thousands of passports from all different countries around the world stockpiled in the passport factory where they could be called upon as need be.
Fascinating. Paul McGough, thank you very much. Paul McGough on the line from Washington there.